This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Right to Life of Northeast Indiana, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Abigail Lorenzen, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Abigail Lorenzen.
And I'm Scott Kump. I Choose Life News and Views is produced by Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne in cooperation with Indiana Right to Life as well as Right to Life of Northeast Indiana.
And now, the pro-life news.
The next 40 Days for Life campaign will be September 23rd through November 1st. 40 Days for Life is a legal, peaceful prayer vigil that takes place across the country and around the world, praying for an end to abortion. You can find campaigns in over 1,000 cities, representing all 50 states and more than 60 different countries. The confirmed results have included over 200 abortion workers leaving the business, more than 100 abortion centers closed, and over 17,000 lives saved. To find the campaign nearest to you and to learn how you can participate, go to 40daysforlife.com.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, help is just a phone call away. Call 877-791-5475.
If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, whether you had an abortion, convinced someone else to have an abortion, or even participated in a procedure, call 877-791-5475.
You'll be referred to a pregnancy resource center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available.
That's 877-791-5475.
877-791-5475.
We have two guests with us today. Meg Disler is with us in office. She is with the St. Joe Community Health Foundation, and she'll tell us a little bit about herself and about St. Joe here in a minute. We also have Dr. Laura Overton with us, and she is on the board of St. Joe Community Health Foundation. Two pieces of that puzzle here to talk a little bit about what's going on specifically in the Fort Wayne community, but also this is an issue inside the entire state of Indiana and throughout the whole U.S. So definitely a broader perspective on this, and the training that they're going to talk about is available in the wider U.S. as well. So if this is something that pulls at your heartstrings, I definitely advise you to follow up on some of this training and access those materials that are available. So thanks, Meg, for joining us. We'll start with a little bit about you.
Wonderful. I'm delighted to be here. A little bit about me. I think probably the big thing to say is that I've been with St. Joe Foundation since 1993. St. Joe Foundation is a ministry of the Poor Handmaids of Jesus Christ. This Catholic religious order, a great group of women, actually came to Allen County, Indiana, and actually came to the U.S. in 1868 to work with a lot of orphan children, mothers, and to really help them have a better quality of life. They're pretty well known in Northeast Indiana when they started St. Joe Hospital, the first hospital in Northeast Indiana, and over the years had a longstanding interest in helping women and children throughout their history, many, many babies that they took care of. When they sold the hospital in 1998, they pulled together some community members, leaders who really care about taking care of people, those who weren't accessing care. They wanted to make sure everybody could get quality care and have hope for quality life. And so we have a local board who is all volunteers helping us, and Dr. Laura Overton is one of them.
Wonderful. So Dr. Laura, we'll hop over to you here for a moment. That was a beautiful segue, Meg. And have you tell us a little bit about yourself. You teach at one of our local universities, Indiana Tech.
No, I teach at Ivy Tech. I am originally from Oklahoma. I came to Indiana to practice medicine, and I was a practicing physician for about 25 years. I was an OBGYN, so that's where Meg and I kind of have a common vision, common mission. In that, I'm one of the few people on the board that's not Catholic. So you don't have to be Catholic to be involved with the St. Joe Community Health Foundation.
Sure.
It is a common mission, a common vision, and our concern is for the health and welfare of Indianans, all Indianans.
Wonderful. One of the trainings that St. Joe is funding right now, and something that Dr. Laura, I think, is near and dear to your heart, is called implicit bias training. So this is something that's been an overarching issue for a while, but lately has come more into the media view, and so more into the view of most Americans.
Yes, I would love to talk a little bit. And let me back up just a minute, Abigail.
Sure.
I want to start with the fact that our value at the St. Joe Community Health Foundation is that we believe every single life is very precious and sacred. And so we have been supporting a lot of programs that really come around mothers, new parents, infants, to make sure they can have a quality life. For years, we've been watching patterns of disparity. Let me give a good example of that. The Indiana State Department of Health released their data showing that in 2018, Black infants in Northeast Indiana were 2.2 times more likely than white babies to die before their first baby.
Wow, that's a big difference.
It is a big difference. Furthermore, they also shared that Black mothers had the highest rate of pregnancy-related mortality at 37 deaths per 100,000 live births in Indiana compared to a national rate of 16.9.
So more than double.
Yes. When we see these patterns, we're very concerned about African-American, actually just Black infants, even African immigrants who come here, see the same prevalence.
Interesting.
And we've got to do something about it. There is a national trend. Unfortunately, in Indiana, it's even a little bit worse. So we have been watching it. And, you know, I think Dr. Laura has been helping us track also with COVID, similar data that maybe, Laura, you could share with us, just what you're seeing also about this disparity, because that will explain why this training in your natural biases to learn to recognize them is so absolutely critical.
Well, yes, everybody is concerned about COVID right now, and or if they're not concerned, they should be. What we're seeing in the trends with pregnant women with COVID-19 is that Hispanic and Black women are much higherly hospitalized and placed on ventilators than other races. If you add up the Hispanic, Latino, and the Black population, that accounts for over 60% of hospitalizations of pregnant women with COVID. That's a huge number. When you think of the fact that Hispanics account for 20% of the population and Blacks 13% of the population, but yet those two make up 60% of the hospitalizations for COVID.
Wow.
And so that is very concerning. Why is it so prevalent in these two populations? And part of it is implicit, or as we sometimes call it, an unconscious bias.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about how that works. How are those two things connected, or how might we see that play out?
Let me just give you an example. I'm originally from Oklahoma, and an unconscious bias would be to say that earthquakes only happen in California, so it's impossible for earthquakes to occur in Oklahoma.
Okay.
So that's an example. So we can say, and this has happened, we can say that because Black people have thicker skin, that is not true, but that's the unconscious bias, that Black people have thicker skin, therefore they don't need as much pain medication. That's what's taught in some schools.
Odd.
Is that Black people have thicker skin, therefore they don't need more pain medication.
There are these myths out there that people tend to believe, and they make people biased
right.
in how they respond.
And they don't even know that that bias is sitting in there. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so,
that it is a myth.
So I believe that in the last couple of years, from like the American Academy of Obstetrician and Gynecologists.
Yeah, ACOG.
Yes. I recently read, I want to say that there were over 30 studies done on why is there this disparity between people of color and Caucasian in maternal and infant mortality. And again, they're coming up with, there's biases in the actual care, in access, in stresses. There's a lot of different. It's continually showing up across the country. And people don't realize, are not recognizing their own biases.
It's a catch-22.
Yes. So we hear many stories. I don't know, if Laura, if you have any that you can even share. for how many different patients you've trained, but I know usually when we bring this up in a setting of new mothers and you have a woman of color in the group, she can easily tell a story where they had to ask repeatedly to get care. And the Caucasian or the white women did not have that same problem.
Interesting. Dr. Laura, do you have a few of those stories maybe that you can share with us to illustrate?
I think one of the best stories was one of the ones that we saw from the March of Dimes today when they are offering the implicit bias training. It was regarding this woman. She was a Black woman who had a PhD and who was also working for a health. She worked for the Centers for Disease Control, and she had a PhD. Well, she had some complications after her pregnancy within the first 2 weeks of delivery, and she had seen six different providers, and she ended up dying.
3 weeks
from postpartum
after the
complications.
There are many stories that are coming out like hers. If you ever actually go out and start Googling it, you'll start seeing testimonials left and right.
Yeah.
And what we're finding is despite education, even well-educated Black women are more likely to have a bad outcome or have to fight to get care than a lower-educated non-Black woman.
Interesting. I wouldn't have expected that.
It's really startling, some of the research. I happen to be a white person, and I was astounded as I started reading it, but the data keeps coming out again and again. So I think the real important thing, it is a very true thing happening. So how can we turn that around?
Right.
And I think, as Dr. Laura has said, it's what can we go around it? And that's why we've decided to start looking for what are some good training opportunities that are out there around how do you understand what is unconscious bias? How might you be doing that?
Right.
If you are working with or caring for anybody who is a pregnant woman, who is somebody who has a child, and what can we do about that? So as Dr. Laura has mentioned, one of the groups that we're really impressed by that anybody listening to this can easily access to is the March of Dimes has done a fabulous job creating a one-hour training, and it's online so you can do it at your own pace. And it's got six modules, and it goes through the research and identifies two, what are the training pieces? So anybody can go online and find the March of Dimes, implicit bias training. Locally in Northeast Indiana, St. Joe Community Health Foundation, we are scholarshiping people.
Great.
In the local agencies to get this training out, and had a great response already.
Good.
We have a network of about 90 different nonprofit groups and for-profits who actually are caring for pregnant women to help take care of them and their babies for a healthy start. Very interested in this training.
For sure.
To understand it. So that's the good news. We're starting to recognize it after all of the things that have come out with Black Lives Matter. We've been watching this pattern for a period of time, but it's very real. I could sit here and give you statistics for half an hour that will show you a bias that's going on there. Indiana, unfortunately, is not doing as well in it as other parts of the country. And the U.S., when you look at maternal mortality, we're one of the worst of all developed nations.
Yeah.
And it is significantly 2 to 3 times better, depending upon the geographic area, for Black women. And certainly Hispanic women are also having this trouble versus Caucasian. So there are things we can do to turn around, because I think all of us believe, you know, in this country, all lives matter.
Right. Yep. Certainly we do. Now you have, and I can see them in front of you, lots of statistics. Sometimes those are hard to share over the radio because people are driving or whatever and the numbers don't stick. But if someone wanted to look up those statistics, where might they go, Meg?
You know, there is an incredible report that I've recently read. If you just go up online and look at stateofbabies.org, is a marvelous 50-page report, but it's easy to get through with a lot of subsections with graphics of a lot of current information where they've put together documenting this disparity, then best practices and different opportunities out there. I also think anybody doing any kind of prenatal or infant care, this March of Dimes training is really quite well done. You can do the training online at your own speed or pace for $50 if you're a medical provider, you can get a medical CEU to do it.
Great.
If you are in Allen County in Northeast Indiana, they can reach through our website. They can see we've got scholarships to do this.
Yeah, go ahead and share your website with us, Meg.
Our website is www.sjchf.org. That's St. Joseph Community Health Foundation.org. So sjchf.org.
I love how you rattle that off. I was thinking about repeating it, and then I was like, I don't think I can.
If you kind of just go to the first letter of our name, St. Joseph Community Health Foundation, it gets easy. But if you look under prenatal and infant care, you'll see that we've got information out there. But I think this is an important opportunity that can help us all just be our best.
For sure.
And we just want all these babies born healthy.
Born and then sustained.
And sustained. And we want the mothers. It's not acceptable that these moms are dying at a greater rate just because they're Black. And I don't think people intend to have their behavior. Most people say, I treat everybody equally.
Right.
But if you have, like Dr. Laura referenced, this impression that may be wrong about people, or they don't take it seriously, they don't know how to listen. And there's many, many stories out there of well-educated women or stories were not heard.
Yeah.
People will tell you, well, that's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a prejudiced person. I love everybody and I treat everyone the same. It does not mean that you don't have a bias. Everyone has a bias about something. Everyone has a bias about something. And I go back to my example. You know, I'm from Oklahoma. Oklahomans will tell you there's earthquakes in California, but not in Oklahoma. So when the ground starts to shake in Oklahoma, we automatically think a tornado's coming.
Oh.
When in fact, it could be an earthquake, and we just have a bias against the earthquake. Well, it's the same way with people. You may believe that Black women have a thicker skin. Again, that is not proven. That is a myth. And therefore, Black women don't need pain medication. That's a bias, and it's an unconscious bias that maybe that's what you were taught.
And even though you don't realize it's there, it'll cause a lot of trouble for the person on whom it's being forecasted.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you're joining us partway through the program, we're speaking with Meg Disler and Dr. Laura Overton, both with the St. Joe Community Health Foundation, talking a bit about implicit bias and how it is affecting the maternal mortality and infant mortality rates, specifically in Indiana, but across the nation. And thankfully, there's training available, especially if you're in the medical field, if you're caring for moms and babies or pregnant moms. This training is a great one for you. And like Dr. Laura just shared, there's quite a few of us who would say, oh, well, I'm not biased at all. Well, that's probably not true. And I'm guessing that the training would help you sort of see through that. Meg, can you tell us a little bit more about the training?
So we are actually going to do two types of training that are out there. The March of Dimes training really takes you through and showcases a lot of the research showing the disparity and the biases that are out there, and then how to recognize it in your own practices. We are also going to be doing it with a local group in Northeast Indiana, Courageous Living, with some cultural competency experts and mental health experts have put together, and they've done this on different groups, where they actually can do more role-playing, experiential learning to really pull out their experiences and discuss them, and even ask those questions if you really did think somebody you had trusted had said to you, oh, this myth, Black people have thicker skins, is true. If you thought that was true, you could ask those kinds of questions. Yeah. So we're doing two types of training. One that's a little more local and you can explore and do more role playing. But in this age of pandemic, the online training is a really nice way to do it in the safety of your home and get a lot more information. But it really is kind of startling, the differences that we have going on. And, you know, it is impacting a lot of people. One of the more famous cases was when Serena Williams, the tennis player, became very ill in the birth of her child, and she could not get the medical care that she needed. They just kept saying, this is what happens with pregnancy. They didn't believe her.
Wow.
And so she started a whole foundation to also fund more of this research and training.
Yeah.
So there are people, it's not an issue of poverty. It's an issue of a lot of myths and really unconscious bias or implicit bias, which is, you know, or unconscious bias
right. That's
going on. And we seem to have it at much greater rates than any other country, developed country in the world, when you start comparing our data elsewhere.
Yeah, that's interesting. Dr. Laura, being an OBGYN, you went through med school. Do you feel like, and maybe when you were in med school, you weren't looking for it actively, but thinking back sort of in retrospect, did you see examples of this implicit bias in your medical training? Is this something that we think is maybe being handed down from teacher to student and so then sort of ingrained in the medical system?
Yes, it is. There were times when we were taught, oh, don't listen. And typically, and I hate to say this, it was a female that they were talking about. Don't listen to her. She's a whiner.
Wow.
There's always a problem with her. And I gave an example of a situation that I was a part of implicit or unconscious bias. We had had several women by the name of Yolanda in our practice, in our student clinic, who had complications. And so every time thereafter a Yolanda was admitted into our clinic, we all thought that she was going to be trouble. Not because of anything that she did, and not just trouble, meaning medical complication kind of trouble. They were all going to have preeclampsia. They were all going to have prolonged labor and have to have a C-section. They were all going to bleed postpartum and have to have a transfusion. So anybody who came in with the name of Yolanda, nobody wanted to take care of them because they were going to be a problem. That's an unconscious bias. And so what part of that did we inflict upon these women who had no problems, but because we thought they were going to have problems and we didn't take better care of them, that they did have a problem?
It almost sounds like the realm of superstition, where when you say
out loud,
it sounds ridiculous. But when it's just the hamster running around in your head on the wheel, it doesn't sound like that. And it does bleed through your actions.
It does. And so we, as you know, in the student clinic, it was, oh, the Yolanda factor's here. And that's what we called it. We called it the Yolanda factor. Yolanda's always had complications and nobody wanted to be on call when a Yolanda was in labor. And it didn't matter if the Yolanda was Black, white, Hispanic. It made absolutely no difference at all. It was the name. Now, you know, that doesn't make any sense. When I tell you that, you think, what planet are you on? That does not make any sense. But that's the nature of an unconscious bias.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Now, that particular one seemed to be tied to a stereotype. Are all of these implicit biases tending to be tied towards stereotypes? I mean, is that what it's built on? Or are there other factors involved that we should be looking for?
A lot of times it is. Well, I'll let Meg finish. I think this is a stereotype. And if I can go back to just general medicine, women die of heart attacks much more often than men do. Why? Because we don't believe that they're really having a heart attack. Mm. They have atypical type of symptoms. They may have jaw pain and not shoulder pain, or they may be thought to be having hot flashes when in fact they're having a heart attack.
You know, and I would build on there. I agree it's stereotypes. I also think research shows that factors into this are your own personal experiences.
For sure. Yeah.
So if you have experiences, here would be a bias that I would have. I know that I am terrible with hot dishes. My fingers, I need hot pads, mittens, everything. My husband can pick up a hot dish with no problem.
Yeah, he has asbestos hands.
Yes. And I've had, so when his friends have been over, they'll hand me dishes. They all have asbestos hands. I love that expression. I'm beginning to think that all men have asbestos hands. So I now have a bias that no man is going to get burned on his fingers, just women. And that's because of my own experience. Uh-huh. And so we also bring in those experiences, as crazy as they are. So I think some training to start recognizing that. So we learn to listen to where people are at. We also need to realize that different people from different backgrounds come from very, especially women coming out of poverty, are in very stressful situations, and they may need a little more help. They may need more nutritional support. They may need more assistance.
Sure.
Just family support if they don't have it. You know, more than half the babies born in Allen County are to single moms. That's kind of a national trend, and I think probably across the state of Indiana as I think that. So are we doing enough to really listen to the individual needs and learning how to do that so that we really listen to where they are? So there's different degrees that we can learn with some training, how to recognize our own experience, how to recognize stereotypes, how to really start talking about that, and then to really be more precise and to take the time and allow the time.
Yeah, that was my thought as you've been talking, Meg, is that it sounds almost like we're just not chasing the problem to its end. And that in the hustle and bustle of American society and just how we run things since such a tight clock, we're not listening to people because we're sort of clicking through the day. And it does take energy to pause and look at each person as an individual and say, okay, what is the root of the problem here, and chase it all the way to its end. That takes some doing, but it's going to be worth it.
So a lot of the language now is saying it's not just about being equal, because we don't have equal needs. We need to be equitable. What do we need to get people up? So if it's like around the hot dish thing, I need twice as long because I got to find those oven mitts to get the dish out. And there's going to be moms who don't have as much support, who need a little more time with that care provider, first child or something else, or who has a sense something is wrong, to listen.
Yeah.
It may not be equal to the amount of time another patient needs.
But it's the ending value is going to be equitable.
Yes. And that's how we're going to have more healthy babies and healthy pregnancies.
And healthy moms afterwards.
And isn't that the goal?
Yep, it is. Dr. Laura, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with? Maybe a little bit of a call to action?
Sure. I guess what I would like to say is that, again, everyone has bias. It does not mean that you're prejudiced or a racist, but everyone has a bias. And learning to know what those biases are and how they affect other people is going to be worth the time and the training.
Yeah, definitely. The stakes are plenty high. Meg, do you want to add anything to that?
I think she said it very well. I think we all need to realize that it is true. We have real evidence to show that Black infants are dying at 2 times the rate of white infants, going on for 20, 30 years.
Way too long.
Black women are dying at a rate of 3 times white women in the course of childbirth, or in that what they call the fourth trimester, the period afterwards. We need to pay attention because every life is valuable.
Very well said. Thanks, Meg. Thanks, Dr. Laura, for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program, or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to ichooselife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.